Welcome to the Tiger Performance Podcast, where we feature high-achieving entrepreneurs and coaches and share their performance journeys. Now, let's get started with the show.
Steve Adams here, founder and CEO of Tiger Performance and Medical Institutes. I'm the host of the Tiger Performance Podcast, where I talk with entrepreneurs, executives, and professionals about their unique stories and performance journeys. We've had genetics experts, Super Bowl athletes, game-changing health professionals, executives, and amazing entrepreneurs with stories that will inspire you. Okay, it's out. It's time to acknowledge our sponsor for today, which is the Tiger Medical and Performance Institutes. Our focus is on the mid-career high achiever who at the time they should be at their best are starting to wear down from the pressure, stress, sleepless nights, and perhaps even burnout. Tiger's unique Decode 2.0 system helps successful leaders complete a transformative medical makeover without the time-consuming and confusing fads or biohacks using our proven and proprietary system. The Tiger system is a personalized genetic-based approach to anti-aging medicine. Through the integration of doctor care and health coaching, we help successful people regain mental and physical energy and reach a peak state of health today while enabling them to sustain elite performance in health tomorrow, expanding their impact, extending their careers. And I know personally, as an entrepreneur who built a $100 million company and burned out, I nearly ruined my health. So with my team, we created the solution that I wish that I had had then. The solution is the Tiger System, a proven program that is transforming lives and creating better tomorrow. So what are you waiting for? Visit tigerpi.com today to learn more. All right. I have a really great guy today, Dr. Jesse Chai. And I can't wait to have him share from his life. We know each other from a group that we are in, and I asked him to come on, and I'm excited. I believe that he will add value to your life today. So Dr. Jesse Chai is the owner and senior dentist at Bradford Family Dentistry, which is in Bradford, Ontario, about an hour north of Toronto, Canada. Bradford Family Dentistry is the first themed dental office in Ontario and quite possibly in North America. And it includes memorabilia from Star Wars, Star Trek, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, sports, Disney, and superheroes. Well, the goal at Bradford Family Dentistry is to make dentistry as fun as possible. And the goal is to deliver Disney quality dentistry for the whole family. We believe that people deserve to have a healthy, pain-free mouth and be able to eat what they like and have the smile they can be proud of. With links of multiple diseases like heart disease, stroke, certain cancers, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and much more to your oral health, as well as your ability to screen and treat sleep apnea, inspiring our patients to take their oral health to the next level, which will bring their health to the next level, is the ultimate goal of Dr. Jesse's clinic. Dr. Jesse, welcome to the Tiger Performance Podcast.
Well, thank you for having me on, Steve. It's a real honor.
Oh, you're welcome. And I just need to come to your clinic just to see the inspiration on the walls, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome anytime.
Well, it's like the hero's journey as you walk down the hallway and all these huge, you know, great literature stories that you've got in your theme. So we'll get back to that later when we talk about your business. Yeah. But Jesse, tell me first, what was it like growing up in your home, and where are you from? Did you grow up in Canada and Toronto, and what were your parents like? And just kind of give the audience just a little bit about your family history when you were a kid.
Sure. So I was raised in Mississauga, which is a suburb of Toronto. Mm-hmm. I currently live in Newmarket, which is is also a suburb, but a little bit north of Toronto now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my early life was not without its challenges. I grew up with asthma. I had a lot of allergies. So that kind of limited my ability to play certain sports, because I couldn't really participate without getting an asthma attack. So, athletics was not one of my main things. It was so bad. I had they had those nebulizers back then. They put this mask on you and they pump this medication through you, and you had to wear like 20 or 30 minutes each day. So that was my early life. Pumping this stuff in just so I can like breathe. And, you know, as you know, I grew up, I'm Asian. I grew up in the 80s. I was quiet and shy and kind of introverted. So, you know, I had to deal with my share of bullying as well because of asthma, people picking on me. Yep. But, you know, it wasn't all doom and gloom. I felt that, you know, I had a really good childhood. I grew up in the 80s, which, you know, anyone that grew up in the 80s knew that it was a very inventive time in with what was going on. You know, they had Star Wars coming out. They had, you know, all the those great, they started linking all the toys with the cartoons. So they had all these superheroes, G.I. Joe, you know, Transformers. Yep. And all that stuff still endures, right? You look at it back.
Yeah.
Looking at the movies they're making now and all the franchises, this stuff is still around. So
it is alive.
So, and you know, so, you know, that kind of inspired me to do, you know, think creatively and, you know, try to see what I could do. Mm-hmm. So yeah, as far as my family life, you know, we weren't rich by any means or imagination, but I never felt that I was missing out. My dad, you know, a 9-to-5 job as a pulp and paper engineer. So we did okay. My mom was mostly a stay-at-home mom and took care of us during our schooling ages. And we took a lot of trips. We drove for most of them because we weren't flying all over the place. We took a lot of road trips, including down to Disney World, which was one of my favorite memories as a child. So, overall, I think I had a really good childhood. It, just like everyone else's, was not without its obstacles, but, you know, overall, I thought I had a good childhood.
Yeah, and it sounds like you had that ideal middle-class upbringing like so many people did. You know, my dad was worked at General Motors in management. My mom stayed home, and we didn't have a lot of extra money, but we did fine. And we did the same thing. We got in a car and drove all over the U.S. for vacation, you know?
Yep.
And I remember seeing those Ontario plates all the time when we were driving around the U.S. going, those people drive a long way. And my dad would say, not much longer than us, son. We're in Michigan and they're in town, Ontario. It's about the same. Yeah. So Jesse, when you were in high school, did you have a first job?
My first job was actually transitioning between high school and university, because my parents really wanted us to focus on our academics.
Sure.
My first job was actually selling knives for a company called Cutco. I don't know if you're
ever heard of it. I did it.
Yeah, you did it. You know, right? They're great knives, right? Really great. I still have and still use the knives that I bought as a demo kit, you know, over 25 years ago, and they still work perfectly fine. And so that was my first job, and it was a great learning experience because it was on sales. And you know, when you're thrown into sales, you quickly learn that the more you sell, the more you make. It's pretty much all referral based. And so you've done it. You start with your family and say, you demonstrate your knives and hope they buy something. Who do you know that might be able to use the knives? And they introduce you to someone, and you just keep repeating that. And so that was a big step for me because, as I said, I'm shy, I'm introverted, but very little experience. They just kind of give you one day seminar on how to do this thing. And but you know, it was a good experience because it took me out of my comfort zone. I actually did pretty well, you know, with close rate, but I don't know if that was because of the relationship. They didn't want to look bad from the person that referred them, or was I actually doing a decent job of selling? I'm not sure. But, you know, it got me out of my comfort zone. It was a good experience.
Yeah.
I only lasted for about a month because it was summer and we're going on vacation. So I said, okay, when I go on vacation, I guess I'm done. But, you know, I still remember that experience. I still use the knives to this day. So, you know, I can't complain. And that was my first summer job. It was in sales.
And, you know, I did it in the summer of 1983 after my first year of college. And they were like $200 then.
Yeah.
And I didn't sell a single set. I was terrible. All I learned was I wasn't good door-to-door salesman, but I'm glad it wasn't predictive of my future though, because I ended up being a top salesman as a banker and in other areas. But I guess I did learn some things to take from it. So, but it's just interesting. We have that common background.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, you know, I was a gregarious, not shy person, but you know, I was the star football player jock. So you get that whole picture, you know what I mean? But I had friends who were the kid who had asthma that people ignored. And I think that's a huge jump from what you were as a kid to selling knives. And so I really applaud you for making that leap.
Yeah, it was a big jump for me, but I said, okay, let's give it a shot.
Yeah. Yeah. So you graduate dental school and you start this business, and just paint a picture for our listeners that tells them about your dental practice. I mean, in more depth than what I did when I just did the, you know, brief overview in your introduction.
Of course. So, as you mentioned, I'm a general dentist and I currently own and operate, you know, a very successful solo dental practice in the small town of Bradford. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, our the practice name is Bradford Family Dentistry, and it is a Disney and pop culture themed inspired office, and it has mm-hmm. like memorabilia in all the rooms. So we try to make it fun. We didn't want to like a boring dental office. We have this like, you know, picture
elevator music. Yeah,
elevator music. We want to make it fun and inspiring. And I figure, you know, as I'm standing in a line at Disney World, I'm saying, there's something to this. If they can make standing in line amusing, yep. you know, there's certainly something we can do in a dental office. And that kind of spurred that thought process. And so each room is themed. You know, we have a Star Wars room. We have a sports room, Disney Princess room, Disney room. As you mentioned, there's a Middle Earth room or Lord of the Rings room. So we have rooms of every, like we have 10 rooms and each one's themed differently. And each room has their own stuff. Like there's autographs, there's memorabilia. I've met a lot of celebrities over the years through conferences and comic cons I've gone to. Mm-hmm. So where I can, I put a picture of me with the celebrity and with the autograph I got with them. And so that, you know, that always introduces a conversation with the, you know, a lot of patients. Oh, you met that guy? And so yeah. that always, you know, and so that helps me connect with the patients, because, you know, when you find something you connect with and you build that relationships, and everyone likes something, you know, they may not like right. everything I like, but everyone likes something. And well, since I have a lot of breadth of stuff I like, you know, that gives, you know, something that we can talk about. So as a, you know, as a general practice, we offer obviously the routine stuff, your cleanings and fillings. We also offer a lot of emergency care for, you know, patients that have tooth pain, root canals or extractions. We help with that. We even do wisdom teeth extraction for like the kids that are at that age. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we're proud to do is that we treat, and a lot of dentists today they do this, but we treat the gingivitis and periodontal disease, which is the gum disease. Mm-hmm. And now we know how bad that is. You kind of prelude that in your introduction, but we know that the gum disease increases your risk of heart disease, stroke, certain
right direct pathway,
diabetes, Alzheimer's, many other diseases. And so, you know, one of our main focuses is getting our patients to stick to the program and keep their gums clean. So that's one of our main focuses. We also have a crown machine. I don't know if you ever had a crown, but we have a machine in the office that makes it for the patient.
Right. So they don't have to go back 3 weeks later. They can wait an hour and have a crown, right?
Yes. So,
yes.
Great story is recently a patient called us in panic. He broke his tooth right to the gum line, and is right in his front tooth.
Oh.
And he had a Zoom interview that afternoon for a job. So he couldn't go on with a missing tooth. So we got him in right away. We took a look at that, and he literally broke it right to the gum line. So we like, he needs a root canal, he needs to build up, he needs a new crown. So, you know, and ordinarily you go to most dental practices, this is like a four visit thing, right?
It's yeah.
Like each one taking at least an hour. So, you know, two for the root canal, two for the crown. So we finished the root canal, we did the build up, we did the crown for him with all the technology we had at the office. And we were able to do that working around other patients in a 90-minute visit. And so this guy, you know, ecstatic. He's got his tooth. He goes home. He crushes the interview. He calls. He lets us know later on that he, you know, he did so well. He moved on to the next set of interviews. So
that's
so,
really cool.
We couldn't do that without that technology. So it's really cool that we have that.
Yeah.
We also offer implant dentistry. So people that are missing teeth, or you know, they're wearing dentures but they can't keep them down. These will help with that. We also straighten people's teeth. We offer orthodontics and braces, mm-hmm. and we use a system called fast braces for people that that need the braces on, the actual braces. And this cuts down the time by about half.
Wow!
The technology it uses it allows the teeth to move faster. And then we also offer for people that don't want to wear braces. We also offer the aligner tray system. So we offer ClearCorrect and Invisalign. Mm-hmm. To straighten people's teeth with the clear trays, and that a lot of people find that very convenient because they don't have to have the train tracks on. Well, you know.
Right. Well, and people who are adults that want to, I mean, if they do Invisalign, can't that improve their overall clinical profile for long term teeth and gum health if they get their teeth aligned better?
Yeah, exactly. With proper planning, yes, exactly. We can do that there. And, since you mentioned that, you know, a lot of people, don't think about it, but when your teeth are crooked, it traps more bacteria in there because they're harder to clean, and that increases the risk of gum disease and leads to all the other problems.
Right.
So straight teeth is one of the other things we're looking at, is that if they got crowding, it's not just the aesthetics anymore. It's that it actually can improve your lifespan and quality of life.
Right. I have the same issue. I my dentist is in Washington, D.C., and he's so good. I go there even from Florida and Michigan, and I have to do the same thing. You know, I've got crowding. My teeth are in really good shape. My gums are in great shape, but I'm at an age in my late 50s where this could be a game changer in terms of when I'm 75 and 80, what my teeth look like and health. Yeah.
Let's see, what else we do.
Don't you also do sleep apnea stuff, don't you?
I'm about to mention that, yeah. Sleep apnea. And I don't know if you know anyone that has sleep apnea, but it is a life-threatening condition. It's one of the most undiagnosed things, medical conditions there is. And, there's a lot of people suffering with it. And one of the number one symptoms is the daytime tiredness. And a lot of people just walk around and tired all the time. They get depressed because they're not getting enough proper sleep. And you talk about in your book how important sleep is.
Yep.
And so if you have sleep apnea or even snoring, that can vastly affect your quality of sleep, and affect your quality of life, because if you're tired all the time, it's not right. And so in my mind, our business is not just about the dentistry, but what dentistry can do for the patient, which is help our patients live longer, healthier, and more fulfilling lives. And so that's our aim, is to help patients achieve that.
Right. No, that's great, Jesse. And I will tell you, in our medical program, we have a 1-year medical makeover. I mean, and it's not vanity. It's like we're changing people's lives, saving lives, actually. Our doctor basically says if we can't get their sleep corrected, if we don't correct their sleep, he said everything else I'm doing doesn't matter, because the sleep is like your number one task every day that you've got to do, is get a good positive night's sleep. Now, nobody gets 180 days in a row. There's always disruptions, but learning what the triggers and drivers are of good sleep is so vital. But if you have apnea, you don't have a chance. Right? So you don't have a chance to sleep well. So you've got to get that corrected. And so, I mean, we have an in-home sleep study device we send to people that diagnoses it. But the other option is go in and get the big one at the hospital. And then I remember we were at a meeting together, you were talking about you have like a simple way of testing people, but I don't know if you can say that on the air, because it's probably more demonstrated than told.
It's more demonstrated than told. But yeah, I mean, basically we like to, when we're looking to see and assessing people, whether we can actually help them or not, you know, we basically assess, you know, if we change your bite, mm-hmm. you know, as you're sleeping, if we change your jaw position, can you breathe easier, or can you breathe more easily or not?
Mm-hmm.
Make it easier for you to breathe in this position. And if it does, then there's a good chance the appliance is going to work, because then we just fabricate an appliance that, you know, resembles that position to help them breathe better.
Right.
But if it doesn't make a difference, then we know that, you know, that's just probably something that the appliance may not be able to help them with. So that's a quick test for us, because we don't want to make an appliance that doesn't work.
Right. They're out $2,000 or $3,000 or whatever, and it didn't work. Right. Yeah. That's good. Okay. Well, good. Well, tell me, you know, there must have been a point. Did you start your practice right out of dental school?
No, I associated with dentists for a few years before I did that.
Okay. So when you made that decision, why did you make that decision, and what kind of fear and inertia did you have to overcome to actually take that leap?
Well, I can tell you, it was quite a journey for me. I graduated in 1998, and, you know, being shy and introverted, as I mentioned, it's tough to get your foot in the door from that aspect, but then everyone wanted experience. So it's really tough to get my foot in the door.
Yeah,
fresh out of school. And so eventually I did land a position that led to more positions. But, you know, so I associated in a lot of different locations around Toronto. But one of the places I associated was at this place that, or this this company that sent dentists to nursing homes to do the dental work there. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what, to me, was like one of the main guiding posts. Once I experienced that, as like it changed a lot of how I viewed dentistry. Because when you go to the home, you realize they all had horrible teeth and gums. And, you know, I remember, and I made that connection pretty early on that, you know, if someone had horrible teeth and gums, it tends to lead to more sickness.
Yep.
And it tends to lead them to getting to these homes earlier and younger.
Yeah, more dementia, more Alzheimer's, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, mm-hmm. some of these patients weren't that old. I saw them, they're age 60, but they look like they're 80.
Yeah.
And so I remember one lady I saw, and she had, you know, she's got dementia. She had this horrible abscess in her mouth, and she, you know, she couldn't understand anything because she had dementia, and she, you know, she was opening and closing her mouth like Pac-Man, and I'm trying to assess the mouth, and I found the tooth that was bothering her. She's opening and closing. I managed to get her frozen, and I had to time my instrument and getting in and out of her mouth quickly to get the tooth out while she's opening and closing. And, you know, so that's one of those big memories that I always remember that, you know, I never want to see my patients get to that stage.
Yeah. So right.
If they let me, I'm going to try to do my best to help them not get there. And so, as I said, knowing what we know now about the links between dental disease and poor health, and, you know, the statistics, the research has been showing when they're doing the research of the you know, the bacteria in your mouth and heart disease, they said up to half of the heart attacks in the U.S. are caused by dental bacteria.
Wow.
Ha.
Yeah, wow.
So I'm like, you know, that's crazy. So that means basically half the heart attacks we can prevent with good dental care.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the good news, right? And so, and they also say recent research was showing that, you know, with Alzheimer's, they were saying that the bacteria that they found, the plaque in the brains.
Mm-hmm. The amyloid plaque, yeah.
Yeah. Same plaque as your mouth.
Wow.
They found that plaque in your mouth crossed the brain, a blood-brain barrier got into your brain. That's the same. Because they always knew it was plaques in the brain that caused the Alzheimer's. They didn't realize the same plaque as in your mouth.
Right.
So, you know, that's just new research. And when we're looking at that and we're talking about all these other things associated with the bacteria in the mouth, it's like, we need to step up our game. Like, really help.
I agree. You know, our doctor at Tiger Medical is certified in mitigating and preventing Alzheimer's by the Bredesen Institute at UCLA. And they talk about there are 36 unique pathways to Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
And now that's complex. This is one simple force multiplier every human being, if they consult and work with a good dentist like you, that they can do that will go a long way to preventing a lot of these chronic diseases and cognitive decline, is just taking care of their teeth and listening to their dentist lead them through this throughout their life cycle.
Exactly. Well, because gum disease, if left long enough, becomes a chronic disease, which, as you know, draws down your whole immune system,
right,
taxes your body. And this opens you up for more chronic issues. And
right.
So you treat the gums, which is quite treatable.
Yep. If you get it early enough, right?
Get it early enough, it's quite treatable and manageable. And you know, we just got to get our patients in earlier. And if they have the problem, try to address it the best we can so they don't get these problems.
Right. So you were out there seeing this, and that kind of mobilized you to take action and start your own practice so you could do a dentistry the way you wanted to do it. Was that really the motivator?
Yeah. So, I mean, basically, yeah, I basically looked at, you know, what's happening there. And so that was a motivator so that, you know, as far as, you know, what I want to do in practice.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as I was associating, the last year I associated, meaning worked for other dentists, I moved to Niagara Falls and worked with an elderly dentist. He recruited me to go down there. And I think he was in the 70s or something like that. He was, you know, he graduated in 1950. And I think he was in the 70s, maybe
the
70s. And he promised me a lot to go down there because he was looking for someone to take over. And a few months later, as I was there, he told me that his friend asked him for a favor to let his son work with him, and he had to let me go. So I was thrown out the left field. I was like devastated, because up until then, everything seemed fine. I was doing well. You know, I was helping his practice grow. And then all of a sudden, he threw me this giant curveball. But I did, from there, I mean, I did manage to get another temp position about 20 minutes away from there. Mm-hmm. And that ended up being a really great experience, because it was the first time that I saw a really well-run office. And you could tell they were doing things at a different level. You know, it was a modern-looking office. It was fast-paced. They were organized. They had regular staff meetings. They celebrated their successes. Mm-hmm. So while I was there, I learned what I could, because I knew I was going to be there only for a short period of time. And so when that ended, you know, I had to make a decision at that point. You know, do I continue to associate, or do I look at, you know, venturing on my own and buying my own practice? Before I decided that, there was an associate position opportunity, so I said, let's give this a try. So, and I went there. It was okay, but it's kind of backwards in the way they're running things. Now, it was heavily team run, but they're running it in a way that kind of limited the opportunities to help their patients. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of like, on that. And then on my third day that I was supposed to go work there, it was a really bad snowstorm. And as I was entering the highway, I hit this really, a patch of black ice. And I spun out of control. And I thought, you know, this is it. I'm done.
Right? Yeah. Uh-huh.
I ran right into the barrier. And, you know, for a moment I was stunned. I thought that was it. Right. And the airbag went off. And, you know, after a few moments of like being stunned, I was like, okay, I'm not dead.
Yeah.
So I got out of the car, looked at the situation. I had a big dent in the car there. And so I called the roadside assistant and they said, it's going to be a few hours before they get to me and to get off the highway if I could. So I ended up doing that. I called the office that I was temping at, doing trial associateship. And I said, I'm sorry, I was in an accident. I can't make it. And, you know, this is what, you know, kind of cemented it in for me. They didn't seem to really care. No one called me back to check on me, you know. So, long story short, it took me a whole day to get my car, eventually I got the car off the highway. I got it towed to the parents' house, and that took like pretty much the whole day. And a few days later, that dental office calls me in, and so they asked me to come in. I said, okay. So I always, and they told me when I got there, they told me they were deciding to go with someone else. And I thought, you know, I just drove like 80 kilometers, which is like 50 miles to get to that office. And I thought, you couldn't have told me that on the phone. You know, I just got in a car accident, it's still winter. I had whiplash, I was in pain. I was kind of scared to death actually to get on the highway after what just happened.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, to me, that was a wake-up call. It was like big siren sign saying, no more associating.
Right.
no more dental associating. So I decided at that moment in time, I was never going to be dental associated ever again. So, you know, after a little bit of rest and recovery because of the injury, I started my search for my practice. And a few months later, I bought the practice now known as Bradford Family Dentistry. And, you know, I don't know if you noticed it, but I often find, looking back, that things often happen for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what the reason is until later. But, you know, if all those things didn't happen beforehand, I wouldn't end up where I was.
Nope. You would have been comfortable, Jesse, and you would have just stayed as an associate, right?
So, when I bought the practice, I was, you know, it's not that I wasn't scared to death of buying a practice. I was scared to death of buying a practice. I knew nothing about running a practice, right?
Yep.
It's a big cost investment, time investment. But I knew that was the only option I had. I couldn't associate anymore. So I like that quote. There's a quote I heard was basically, you know, courage is feeling the fear, but doing it anyways.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that was pretty much what that was like, you know, making that big commitment and jumping into that fear. And just diving headfirst and just doing it. So that was kind of my journey into getting into Bradford and growing Bradford Family Dentistry.
I think your story though is so instructive because all of us need to be I think, jolted a little bit to take that step into entrepreneurship. And I, for me, it was the same thing. I had worked on a large deal and I was sick one day and I couldn't go into loan committee to present it. And so my boss did, and they jerked it around and changed the deal. And I remember thinking, I can't believe this. This is not acceptable. And that was the first time. Prior to that, I was going to work my whole life there and try to be the CEO of this Fortune 500 bank, you know. But ultimately, that event started me to thinking about being an entrepreneur, which led to actually having it happen. But I think this is so common with the people that we have on this podcast. It's very similar. Something happened in their life. They were resilient. They stepped back and said, what can I learn from this? And then they went and did something more positive with it. They didn't fold their cards. And that's a common theme with peak performance.
Yeah.
So great job, buddy. I think that's great. So, okay. We're going to move along here a little bit. So who was an important early mentor to you, Jesse, that really was helpful in helping you create the dental practice that you have today? I mean, there's some really great dental coaches out there. You know, there's marketing coaches, you know, and if you got a couple, that's great, but who would you mention?
I can't say enough about coaching. That's for sure. I mean, for the first 3 years, I struggled because I knew nothing about running a business. Mm-hmm. And so when I took that leap of faith and hired a coach, eventually, the first one didn't work out so well, but eventually I found one that was good. He kind of settled me in, and, you know, he guided me in those early years and helped me, kind of turn that practice around into something that I can run with. Mm-hmm. So I've had several coaches over the years, some good, some bad, but I always got something out of each experience.
Yep.
And I really do think that everyone that wants to be successful needs a coach and to help them kind of push themselves. Because a good coach will act as a sounding board for, you know, things you're going through, ideas that you got. But the other thing is they're going to push you harder than you would if you left to your own devices.
Yeah. So, right. The accountability, right. Yeah,
accountability. Cause I mean, as by yourself, you're kind of your worst enemy.
Yeah.
because you know, if you look back at it, at everything that you do, there's no one who lets themselves down more than yourself.
I agree. When you're looking in the mirror, having that conversation, you're talking to an idiot. You know, I mean, you need to have help and input from others.
Yeah. So, I mean, they help you with that because, you know, if you're left to your own device, you may not be setting high enough goals, or you're going to procrastinate more than you should, or you're going to put up with people in your life that you really shouldn't. And the coach will kind of knock some sense into you sometimes and kind of get you to see things in a different perspective. So, you know, I've worked with a lot of great coaches like yourself. You know, I've worked with Dan Kennedy for a brief moment before he got ill, and then you took over for that. So I got to work with you as well briefly. Mm-hmm. Right now I'm working with Dr. John Neese, who you had on as a guest.
Yeah. Yeah.
And one of his coaches, Sherry, from the Team Training Institute. So they've been great for me to, you know, really take my practice to the next level. And then, you know, mentors don't actually have to be people that you actually physically speak to.
Or right, right. Person.
You know, I get a lot of information from podcasts. I've been reading a lot of books. I do a lot of trainings. One program I'm doing right now is, have you ever read The Compound Effect?
I have. I quoted that in my book. Yeah. It's a great concept.
So I really, you know, this year I've gone deep with Darren Hardy, the author there, you know, learning about, you know, leadership and other business stuff. And so even though I've never met him, he's, you know, it's had a profound effect on my business this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, doing all those things, and this year I really stepped up on my reading. After reading The Compound Effect, I made a habit of reading. And so, you know, I've been reading a lot of books on self-improvement, leadership, business,
yep,
and health. And so I try to read at least one book a week. Right now, my last count, I'm at 70 books for the year so far.
And tremendous.
We're at mid-October, so I don't know where I'm going to end up, but I hope like 85, 90 books probably by the end of the year. So And that's probably going to be the most books I've read in the last, like more books than I read in the last 5 years combined. So,
Jesse, what you're really illustrating here is that you're a continuous learner, and that's a common theme. Success leaves clues. You know, Tony Robbins says that. That's one of the keys that I find with everybody I interview, everybody I've read about, is they're a continuous learner. And, you know, I'm like you. I mean, I started a reading habit because I listened to Earl Nightingale and Lead the Field back in the 80s. And he talked about the correlation between your vocabulary and success. It's a direct line. And so I started reading 100 books a year when I was 22 years old.
Wow.
And I've had many years where I've done more than that. And so, so that's 35 years ago. You can do the math. That's a well over 3,000 books. And what I'll tell you is what Darren talks about. It does compound. I never know when an insight that I read in 1994 out of a book will come to me today in 2021. It's there. It's in your subconscious. It's in your long-term memory. Not all of it. Now, I had a habit where I would, the most important things that really resonated with me, I would write in the first few blank pages of every book, in addition to my underlining and highlighting. And then, so in my library, I can open up any book and look at the first couple pages of that blank space at the beginning where the jacket is, and I can get what I need back again out of what I did, what I read. So I don't have to reread the whole thing again. Now, I could have been better and like typed them into notes and filed them into a system, but I'm not a droid. I'm just a human. But I would agree. I think that reading is, and the author gives you the best they got for $20.
I know.
I mean, it's incredible. It is.
If you can spend the time to read, great information.
Sure. Say that again, Jesse. We had a little break up there.
If you spend the time actually reading the content in the book, people don't read the whole book. But if you commit to the time to reading what's in there, you're going to grab a lot of nuggets in there that, you know, that would have otherwise cost you a lot more.
Right. Exactly.
At that knowledge,
Jesse. You know,
and I guess the approach is that you really want to.
No, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. No, I didn't know we got cut off. My internet's kind of lagging. But one of the things I learned about with coaches is you really want to find someone find out what you want to accomplish and find the people that have already accomplished that as the person that you want to mentor you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that tends to work for me.
Yeah. Jesse, real quick. I mean, your clients are going to be local, but I'm sure that you would, I mean, if somebody really resonates with you, they could fly to Toronto and drive up and see you, right?
Yeah, of course they can.
Yeah. And so who is your ideal client?
So as you know, I'm brick and mortar. So the best clients usually live in Bradford and surrounding areas.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're looking for is people that are looking for the best dental care for their family. You know, we're now in 20 years in business. We have over close to 500 Google reviews, 21 community awards, like nine straight business best dentist, best dental office, Reader's Choice Awards, seven Board of Trade Awards, including four Business Excellence Awards, which is the highest award you can get in the community.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a two-time best-selling author in the field of dental health. I co-authored More Than a Mouthful and Healthy Input with other dentists. And we offer most of the services in the house. And I do work with some great specialists. If we can't do it, I know someone that can help me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so for people in Bradford or surrounding areas, you know, who are looking for that dental expert in the area who works with a team that strives for excellence, because that's what we do every day, is strive to do our best and get better every day and strive for that excellence.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as you mentioned in the promo, you know, we say we offer Disney quality dentistry for the whole family. We really believe that.
Yep. And I think if someone's struggling with sleep, you know, there's a lot of dentists that will put a device in your mouth to help you with that. But you've really went to a very deep extent and took a lot of training in sleep apnea, right?
Yes, I've taken a lot of training in a lot of different things, including sleep apnea, for sure. And there's very few things that I think we do that can make an immediate impact in someone's life, and getting them proper sleep is one of those things that, you know, you put the appliance in. And, you know, I had one lady I made this for, and we had her back in. She said, She slept for 10 hours the first night she wore that thing. It was the best night of sleep she ever had.
Wow, that's so rewarding. And so that's what I'm leading to here is it doesn't matter if you're in Arizona and you're listening. I've met Dr. Jesse several times in person. It would be worth flying to Toronto and driving to see him, to have him work on your sleep if you're having a problem with that. Because, you know, ultimately it's about people and he's the kind of person you want to work with. So that's my plug right there. And I believe that. I don't do that, you know, on this if I don't believe it. I like to ask these last two questions. One is serious, one is fun. The first one is, you know, because success leaves clues and all of my guests, they have good rituals and habits. What are some of yours that you find most important, Dr. Jesse?
Well, during the work week, I've started the habit of waking up early. So I wake up at 5 a.m. and I make sure that I read at least 30 minutes each day before I go to work. And I work on my most important projects, because when you're working on patients, you don't get a chance to work on the business. So one of my main things is working on that most important thing I got to do for the business.
Yep.
So that gets done before I get to work. And then the other habit that I've created or started doing with making sure that I exercise regularly. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that I was not doing so well at. So that was a big step for me to get into the exercise habit.
Good for you. Yeah. That's excellent. And you know what? If you do one thing for an hour every morning on your business, that compounds.
Absolutely.
Right. So last question. This is a lot of fun. This is about maybe your office leaves us a clue. I'm not sure with all the characters and everything, but if you could live a parallel life, because you know, this is your life. You've chosen it. You're not going to like chuck it all and go do something now at this point in your life. But if you could do that and you had another 80 years to live, what would it be?
That's a good question because, you know, I really do like what I do.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, there's a couple of things I can see it that would be a good thing. I mean, you mentioned how important coaches are. You know, for me, being a coach would be, I think, would be quite rewarding. I like learning, I like teaching, and I like mm-hmm. helping others. That's what the coach has done for me. But, you know, what would be really cool is I've been reading some books on how Disney business principles, and I think that'd be pretty cool to work in a leadership position at Disney.
Yeah, it would.
You can really see how the magic happens. So that'd be a cool job too.
Or take a summer off and go work there for a summer in the theme park.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's cool, Dr. Jesse. And real quick, tell us about your family.
My family, I've been married now for about 17 years. That's mm-hmm. my wife, Alice. And I have two young kids. My son, Evan, is 12 now. My daughter's 8. And I mean, we're not a very complicated family. We like to have fun and enjoy time with each other. And obviously with this pandemic going on, we've been spending a lot of time together.
So. Yeah. Well, let me tell you, as a father of 28 and 26-year-old, it will get more complicated in about 5 to 6 years.
I don't doubt that.
For a season, then it turns really wonderful again. And we've been talking with Dr. Jesse Chai of the Bradford Family Dental Clinic. I think I said that properly. From Bradford, Ontario, which is, outside of Toronto, on the Tiger Performance Podcast. Jesse, where can people learn more about you?
They can probably visit my website. That would probably be the easiest thing. www.bradfordfamilydentist.ca. And that's probably the best place to find us.
And Bradford is Bradford, just like it sounds. And Jesse, what's your probably your best known book that they could look up on Amazon if they were interested?
More Than a Mouthful was a really good project that I worked on. That was a really good one. If you want to learn more about sleep apnea, I wrote a whole chapter on that in Healthy Input.
And what? Healthy what?
Healthy Input.
Healthy Input. That's the title of a book?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. On sleep apnea.
On sleep apnea on that one.
Okay. Yeah. And those are both on Amazon, right?
Yeah. Last I checked, they're still there.
Okay. Okay. Well, Dr. Jesse, thank you for appearing on the Tiger Performance Podcast.
Well, thank you for having me, Steve. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Tiger Performance Podcast. We'll see you again next time, and be sure to click subscribe to get the future episodes.